Good evening
and shalom, most precious saints of God. I'm Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and thanks for tuning in as we begin tonight with the pertinent news for Bible believers. Anyway, all eyes are watching what is happening in the important region of Ukraine. And why is it important? Because of its abundance of natural gas that flows through its underground pipelines. Some wonder if Russia's infiltration might even escalate into World War III. You know, many that pay attention to what the elite who promote globalism have said for centuries. You know, they said there would be three world wars, with the third ushering in the New World Order. You see, World War I ushered in the League of Nations, and World War II ushered in the UN. And so you see how they think, and rightfully so. We know that chaos does come before order, and in fact, that has been their slogan. And Putin, as well as most other world leaders, are just puppets of the elite. And over the last few months, I have expressed vividly who these elite wolves in sheep's clothing are. But we'll continue that later. Back to the Ukraine. People are asking, well, how did it all start? Well, in summary form, it all began last November when the Ukrainian people began protesting the corrupt Putin-backed Yanukovych government, who was pulling Ukraine back towards Russian rule rather than an EU partnership. And by January, as protesting increased, Putin, with his aspirations to once again control Ukraine that was lost in the fall of the Soviet Union, saw the problem and encouraged Yanukovych to get tougher and pull in the reins. But as a result, dozens of innocents were killed. So then the protesters increased the violence and invaded Yanukovych's properties. So, fearing his life, he fled to Russia. Then the Ukrainians appointed a new interim leader. But Russia said, I don't think so, and sent in his troops. First into southern peninsula of Crimea, and had little resistance to that, and then the upper Ukraine. So, what do we do? Well, most experts say the best scenario is to try to harm Russia's money source, like freezing assets and bank accounts, giving them sanctions, etc. But, should that occur? Putin said he would reduce its economic dependency to the U.S. to zero. And stop using dollars for international transaction. And there is a clue that Washington could use as an excuse when our dollar falls. And remember, that's what the elite want. No world superpowers, and America has to be taken down economically and then change the currency to a much lower value. This could be just one of the catalysts Obama would use to further increase our debt and blame it on someone else like Russia. As we have just promised Ukraine, in fact, we promised them $1 billion, the new government. And Russia has now decided to cut off Ukraine's energy subsidies. So they are going to need money. Right now, many phone calls and meetings are being held with the hopes of a possible agreement. But Putin will set some rules, and number one is that Ukraine, as in Georgia, should not be allowed to join NATO. This will give Putin time to consider a later invasion without worrying NATO would intervene. Remember, Putin is an ex-KGB, and his focus is on reestablishing the Soviet Union, and make no mistake about that. But Russia insists their troops are in the Ukraine only to protect the Russians, you know, that still remain there. But the threat of takeover is still in the air, and that's the hammer he holds. But he probably will likely settle for Crimea, which is really all he expected to accomplish at this juncture anyway. Sort of like Israel, you know, here a little land, there a little land, seems to work a lot. But controlling Crimea would be very advantageous to Putin due to its strategic position on the Black Sea, where already Russia guards and maintains a Navy base on their eastern seaport. By the way, America still has two warships in the Black Sea from when we provided extra security support at the Olympics. Now, how convenient is that? Might as well stay there now. As far as Israel goes, the Ukraine is taking center stage right now, but some pretty serious meetings are going on between Obama and Netanyahu, and today's APEC gathering, where John Kerry tried to assure the country's largest pro-Israel lobby that his Iran nuclear deal, it was the last best hope of stopping Iran, while also proclaiming Palestinian Authority Abbas is a willing partner for peace? Hello, excuse me? Who in the world does he think he's addressing? This is Israel's main backer, American Jews. Abbas has done nothing compared to Israel, who over the last 20 years since Israel entered the peace process has made unprecedented steps to advance peace. They've already vacated cities in Judea and Samaria. They left Gaza entirely. They've frozen settlements, uprooted entire settlements, and released hundreds of terrorist prisoners, including dozens in recent months. And what have they gotten in return? Scores of suicide bombings, thousands of rockets on their cities fired from the areas they vacated, and just incessant Palestinian incitement. And now, to top it all off, Abbas asked for more, like control over the Wailing Wall. This whole thing is such a joke, and always has been. But the Bible says some kind of agreement will forcefully be made. So Obama, who says it's now time for him to be more involved, can then say, look what I did, and no one else could. Well, at least since the Oslo Accords in 1993, that didn't last more than 7 years. Well, guess what? His won't either. And we have biblical confirmation for that. But again, what a sigh of relief we can exhale, because we know who neither slumbers nor sleeps. So then, what are we really supposed to do? Yes, spread the word. For he really is coming very soon, so be absolutely sure your relationship with Jesus is very intimate and personal. And we here at Shofar Ministries want to help you stay focused on what's important. So please keep us in your prayers that we can remain on the air. And to do that, we do need your help. And a reminder, this coming Friday, we will be at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio, with a very timely message, and Messianic worship begins at 7. Now, don't move that dial or your mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom, Mishpucha. That means family. And you're our radio family. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio 1220 AM, as well as WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And we're so glad you could join us tonight as we take a closer look at who we are really fighting against. And it's certainly not flesh and blood. But before we get started, we're going to pray, and pray with me if you can. Abba, Father, we praise you. We appreciate you so much, everything you've done, and you continue to do for those who are called by your name. We earnestly pray for the lost souls of our loved ones, and we ask you that you soften the soil of their hearts, pull away that veil, and open their eyes to see that your Son, Yeshua, is the only way to you. And we exalt you as Lord over all. We lift up any diseases our listeners may have, and especially the ones that have contacted us. And as a matter of fact, we just looked up any prayer request that you have sent us, and that's come in this month. And in your name and through your power, we pray this prayer of faith, knowing that you love your people and you will answer those prayers. And we continue to thank you for this opportunity for us to be on the air to speak the truth of what's going on in this ever so increasing evil world. And as long as you provide, we will continue, Abba, to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And we pray that more solid Christians will join us in this battle, exposing error. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen, and shalom to you all. As I said last week, if you can get to a map of Europe, it might help to finish the study of World War I, which I suppose could be boring to some people, but I've tried my darndest to make it easy because I think we have to have a little bit of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to remind you that the lines are always open for your end-time questions, comments. 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD.
And remember, if you're just getting on board with us tonight and you want to listen to our previous shows, they're all archived for you at shofarministries.net.
They are indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, again, I need to clarify right away, before we get started here, that I am not bashing Catholics. I am exposing the hierarchy and their teachings that are spiritually hurting people, such as I was, who was taught heresies, and I was 35 before anyone even told me the truth. And I didn't believe it for over a year. I was in denial that maybe I got it wrong. Finally, it got through that good works and the sacraments were not a requirement for salvation, as it said in my catechism. And by the way, it has never been removed, even with Vatican II. And if you have one, you can, or if you don't have one, it's easily to find. The Vatican II catechism, you can buy them anywhere, any bookstore. Go to paragraph 1129, and it will tell you that the sacraments are part of being saved. You need them, and it's just not so. So, instead of calling in and being so angry, let's talk about just one of the heresies at a time, nice and calmly. But I have to say, if you could please answer this one question, and that is, how in the world does a pope say that atheists that do not get saved, now we're talking about stay atheists, can go to heaven based on their good works, when it was always said you had to be baptized a Catholic to be saved? So which is it? And has all the other infallible popes and past teachings been a lie? Catholics should be storming out from their churches in droves after this, but they stay and defend. And then they yell at me, who was only trying to present the truth. I really am amazed at the high levels of deception. And I'm telling you, Jesus had it so right in Matthew 24, when he said that the very first sign of his return would be the gross deception before any of the other signs were listed. And remember, it's Satan who is behind this. And he is so slick that he would use good people to attain his goals.
We're addressing the hierarchy. Anyway, you got to remember that, not the pew fillers.
No, I'm trying to explain to them that
they
need to get out.
Yeah.
They're good people.
And according to this statement, you know, the atheists can go to heaven, and this was by the highest ranking leader of a church that has, what, a billion souls. A billion souls. They are responsible for. And they're not leaving.
I know.
And it's a slap in the face of our Lord.
Well, I should say maybe they are. We just don't know about it.
We don't know that.
But I think they'd be running out of the churches. I mean, this is just awful. This is heresy.
Well, you got to remember that, you know, what Jesus did for us on the cross, the finished work.
Right.
Is there. And they're adding more to that. And it's sure. Well, it's like you said, this is deception was the major sign listed?
That's right.
When Yeshua,
that's right,
was explaining the signs of the times in
and
Matthew.
And not only that, John, I cannot, you know, judge somebody's heart. I mean, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to point out the error,
mm-hmm,
so that regardless of where you're at in your Christian walk, maybe you say you're a saved Catholic, mm-hmm, but I'm telling you, get out from there and be saved somewhere else. Because you can't stay under leadership that teaches heresy. You just can't do it and really be saved.
I believe that, too. And you have really made yourself perfectly clear. And actually, if you know the truth and you keep it to yourself, you don't really love your fellow man.
That's not love at all.
That's not love.
No.
It,
no, that's not caring.
No, I can give you a scripture on that. We can do that later.
In a second, we will do that.
Yeah.
So again, people, please do your own research. You know, check it out. I've given plenty of resources over the weeks, particularly even the paragraph numbers in the Catholic Catechism, easily obtainable. And as you just prayed, John,
mm-hmm,
I hope more real Christians will speak out and start exposing the errors of this religion. Plenty of biblical knowledge out there. And actually, thanks to the Internet, most is just a click away. And I know that Satan can use the Internet for evil, too. But so God can do it. And I'll tell you what, there's information that you can get. And remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11. Don't just put up with false teaching. Say something and expose it, Ephesians 5:11. And I think you have a scripture in the Old Testament.
Or the First Testament, if you will.
And then we'll take our first caller. Go ahead,
John. It's the love your neighbor scripture. Everyone's fulfilled. Familiar with this scripture, but it does start out, do not hate your brother in your heart, but rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you won't carry sin because of him. Don't take vengeance on or bear a grudge against any of your people. Rather, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you really love someone, you're going to tell them the truth.
Oh, that's excellent.
That's right. You'll tell them the truth.
All right, we have a caller, and his name is Jack, and Jack, you're on the line.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
I have three questions for you. My pastor told me that my body is my soul, and I said, no, your soul is separate from your body. And he said, no, Jack, if your soul never died and it lived forever, you would be equal to God. And I said, no, I wouldn't.
No, there's body, soul, and spirit. Body is your flesh. Soul is your mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit, of course, is your innermost being, that when you get saved, Jesus comes and lives inside of you.
So your body's not your soul, then?
No, it is not. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions, what you end up doing. Your body is just the flesh.
And then my second question is, the Saturday, the true Sabbath?
Well, it was in the Old Testament, but now, since Jesus came, he is the Sabbath, and if he lives inside of you, every day is the Sabbath is fulfilled. Okay? Now,
okay,
some people still like to enjoy Saturday as their Sabbath, and they have every right to do so. But it's not required. Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath as he fulfilled the spring feast as well.
Because some people say Sunday's the true Sabbath.
Hmm.
Well, like I just said, he fulfilled the Sabbath, and he lives inside of you.
And then my third question is, Kevin said, my minister, that the Temple Mount has nothing to do with the second coming of Jesus, that he could come before the Temple Mount gets rebuilt.
Well, the rapture will come before the temple will be rebuilt on the Temple Mount, in my opinion. Now, when he comes back in the second time and we're with him, where everyone will see him, then he will set up his kingdom and use the Temple Mount at that time. So he's right there.
Okay, thank you, because my ministry confuses me.
Oh, well, you just take it one step at a time.
That's a good question.
Because I know I would never be equal to God if my soul never died, because I couldn't heal dead, raise dead people from the grave, or heal blind people, or say to a guy, take up your bed and walk. I couldn't do that.
You're right, Jack. God bless you.
Good questions from Jack.
That's right.
Questions.
Amen. Nice caller.
Well, okay, we were...
And if you want to call in, the numbers are 888-677-WORD, and we're here to answer.
That's right. And we're doing a lot of witnessing, especially to Catholics tonight, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to keep it simple.
Well, that's where my heart is right now.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for a little while, but we will be moving on. Don't worry.
And not just Catholics, but anyone who thinks their religion can save them, that's error. I mean, it can't. It can't. There's only one that can save us.
Well, there was a time when you, if you even were a baby and weren't baptized yet, if you died the first week, you'd go to limbo. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Limbo?
That's what it was called, limbo.
I thought it,
when I was a kid.
Like Rush limbo? Or
no. And I don't mean to make light of this, but this is serious stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It really is serious. But, you know, sometimes you have to have a little humor because it just tears me up.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it does.
So, and the other thing we have to remember, we've said this last couple times, Jesus hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now, if you've done your homework in Revelation 2, you know that the Nicolaitans is ruling of the people of the laity. In other words, elevating the hierarchy above the normal people.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, Pope Pius X said that he's God on earth.
Yes, and that's part one of
that's elevating the hierarchy.
It sure is. That's part of our Pope quotes
that
you can find on our archives. You know, and I'd say that's doing some kind of elevating, wouldn't you? That's really elevating,
I think,
right?
That's about the highest you can go.
Yeah. You can go to the archive if you want to read those quotes. We
that's
did that,
right.
I think,
three weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay, well, I remember last week we began talking about World War I, how it was started, and World War II, as a matter of fact. It was started by the Vatican and the Vatican's underground army called the Jesuits.
That's right,
now,
the higher-level Jesuits.
The higher-level Jesuits,
the
right.
The lower-level are, you know, just regular good people.
So we're talking to people that you and I may not ever run into, but we know they're there. Right. But would you do a quick review for us? If we have some new listeners tonight, and they haven't gone to our archives yet. Just what we kind of
I'll try to cover what we covered last week. Then, of course, that should be enough to get people to want to go back to the other programs. And we are so blessed. You know, when we were first on WHK in, oh, my gosh, 2001, we weren't able to do this and put it on the webpage. I just wasn't sophisticated enough at that time.
Yeah.
So we lost all those. But now we've been able to put it on there so anyone can go at any time. It's a plethora of information.
It is. And also just your newsletters are archived there, too, as
they
well.
They are.
And
they are.
There's
you
a
can
lot
print
of
them
interest.
Out. You can hand them out. Mm-hmm. Nothing costs you anything. I just want you to have the truth and be able to study and do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say if you want to give a donation, you're more than welcome to. Praise God and hallelujah.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Jesuits are obvious sheep in wolf's clothing. Jesus said they would be around. Paul said they would be around. So who are they?
Mm-hmm.
I say they're the Jesuits. And they have not only infiltrated Protestant religions by changing their identities and entered Protestant seminaries, hiding themselves, really, to who they are. And their main purpose was to create division and try to turn people away from Protestantism and into Catholicism. And it's...
You know, one of their tactics was actually to encourage the charismatic movement.
I believe they
did. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean the one in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And like what the Pentecostal movement
was. Right,
and
that would be
to
draw Pentecostals in and say, see, we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, of course, then there was the Evangelicals and Catholic Together Act, or agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And that was signed, I think, oh, my gosh, I forgot the date, in the 80s maybe?
Mm.
And that was a huge feather in the Vatican's crown as well.
Wow.
But, again, the Jesuits not only infiltrated Protestantism, they infiltrated all walks of life, particularly the highest levels of government, with another goal, and that was to take down America so to better implement the New World Order. And I'm telling you, from all the resources that I have, and there's lots of sources out there, all the presidents except Lincoln and Kennedy were their puppets, as are most world leaders today, or they face assassination, as Lincoln and Kennedy did.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, John, you know what? Please, let's continually remind our listeners.
Yeah, it's not the people, but it's the evil forces behind this hierarchy that we're talking about, okay? We're not talking about pew fillers.
That's right. That's right. Again, we don't fight flesh and blood, and without the truth of God's word firmly implanted in one's mind, deception is a pretty sure thing. And that's another problem. As raised as a Catholic, I was told not to read the Bible, that it was too difficult. Only the priests could interpret it correctly.
Hmm.
I was also told it was not all inerrant, that there was things that had error in it, and that's why another reason why the regular people shouldn't read it, because they couldn't tell the difference. I was told that by a priest, and I was in my 20s at that time because I wanted to study the Bible and went to a priest to see if he would have Bible study, and he's, you know, more or less said no, pretty much.
That's
so,
really wild.
Yeah, it's really sad. Now, I know that's changed a little bit. They are using a little more of the scriptures now.
Well,
but it's still what they pick, and it's somewhat out of context.
Yeah, but even at that, you know, there's a lot of people that are, their eyes are starting to get open now to this.
There are, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, people recognize the enemy, and in the short time we have left, just evangelize and offer the truth, because at this point, you cannot change what's ultimately coming down.
Yeah, and what you're saying is you can't change the prophetic. It's in the book,
mm-hmm.
And that is the book, mm-hmm. is the mainstay of Christianity.
That's
remember
right.
that.
We have gotta to have the
that.
Book.
Yes, gotta have the book.
So our Redeemer lives and is returning to earth to be king and to set up his kingdom, and that's what Christians have been waiting for a long time.
Yeah, so just like get out there, share the truth.
Do it again. We can't say it enough.
And leave the driving to God.
That's
to fulfill
right.
His word.
And he will.
Yes.
He will. You know what? Even before the creation of the Jesuits now, and that was really 500 years before the Protestant Reformation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Before the creation of the Jesuits, in about 1054, we had a split, and it was the Eastern Orthodox religion away from the Roman Catholic Church. And that did not please the Vatican at all. In fact, the Pope vowed to get back at them, which is really the major reason for World War I,
mm-hmm.
as well as the fact that Russian czars around 1814 actually threw the Jesuits out of their country. So they've had some revenge for years.
Now, wasn't the czar that did that, wasn't he later poisoned?
He was. That's right.
That's one of their methods, I know.
Mm-hmm. And other countries also banned the Jesuits over the years,
mm-hmm.
so there is no denying that some leaders, some popes, recognized how ruthless they were.
And, of course, most of those leaders were assassinated.
Yes, popes were assassinated,
mm-hmm.
absolutely poisoned mostly,
yeah,
if they wouldn't go along with the program.
If they don't go along with the program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, moving right along.
Yeah, okay. Let's jump ahead to, let's talk about Luther's Reformation of 1517.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was that really enraged the Vatican.
I would say definitely. And
not long after that, what happens?
The Jesuits were created.
Yeah.
And that was in, do you remember what year?
Oh, yeah, I think it was around 1517.
No, that was the Reformation.
That was the Reformation?
How about
1540?
1540. Got it.
So they waited a few years, or else they were figuring out how to do it in that little interim.
Yeah, they were actually created to fight undercover.
Mm-hmm.
And deviously.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to be like the Knights of Malta or the Crusades and all that, where they were actually out there fighting. This was sneaky.
Mm-hmm. This is like a CIA, KGB
mm-hmm.
type thing, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, something else that our listeners should know is that the so-called heroes of communism,
mm-hmm.
Marx and Engels, who were credited for writing the Communist Manifesto in the 1880s, they were actually coached and directed by Jesuit priests. The Communist Party was formed for the task of destroying the czars of Russia because they were the protectors of the Orthodox Church that broke away in 1054.
And they were still hated by Rome since they split back there in, 1054.
That's right. It was for revenge, and the Communist Party was financed,
mm-hmm.
in secret, of course, by these agents of Rome, in order to create another power that would be servants to the Vatican.
It just sounds unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's hard to wrap your mind around this, but you have to remember the power behind the Vatican.
Very right.
Mm-hmm.
Very right. And I'm telling you, there must be at least a dozen resources out there, books that were written that are all complementing each other. They're all saying the same thing from, you know, different history times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyhow, the Jesuits arranged for the Archduke Ferdinand, who would be the eventual heir to the throne from the Catholic-Croatian-Austrian Empire, to be assassinated. So they arranged for him to be killed. So the blame then could go on the Serbians, who were the Orthodox and rivals of Rome. And Pope Pius X, again, who called himself God on Earth, coerced Austria's emperor, who was also the uncle of the assassinated Ferdinand, to start this war of revenge, and it worked.
Satan had his war, and we're learning, too, that all these roads, they lead right back to Rome.
That's right. And you know what? We didn't get to take a song break last time. And
no, we didn't.
I'd like to have the song just so that it can lighten people up.
Yeah, get on.
Because the history can be, you know, somewhat boring. But I hope it's not. I hope people are appreciating, you know, the work.
Well, I know I am. I'm learning more now at this age than I ever did when I was in school. So.
All right. Well, me too, actually. I've been really learning a lot.
So what do we have, a song tonight?
We have a song, and
is it by the Liberated
yes,
Railing Wall?
Yes, you remembered. You remembered. Okay.
All right, let's see. Welcome
all
back.
Right.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was King of Glory as performed by Liberated Wailing Wall. That's a good tune.
Yeah, we just talked about the Wailing Wall tonight, so that fits right in there.
That fits right in there.
Yeah.
If you would like Sheila to speak at your church or your group, all you have to do is email her, sheila@shofarministries.net, or you can just call the office. That's 440-834-9006. Please leave a detailed message.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And your donations, of course, are very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax deductible. So if you like this program and if you are being blessed and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
That's right. And please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. We'll be giving that out later, too. On our web homepage, there is a Partner With Us button on the left side, and all donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your email or house address.
You can also pledge tonight by calling 888-677-WORD and give Derek your information.
Okay, so there you go. Newsletters and previous radio shows all there for you on shofarministries.net. And you can even order teaching DVD DVDs as well, or CDs and DVDs, right?
Anything.
Okay, phone lines, once again, 888-677-WORD. That's easy. Now, remember, everyone, the first Friday of every month, we're at Chester Christian Center, and that's out in Chesterland, Ohio, at 11815 Chillicothe Road, or we call it Route 306, right there in Chesterland. It's close to I-271, I-90, and we begin promptly at 7 p.m. with Messianic worship.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. And we're going to finish up tonight's program by finishing up some more notes on World War One.
Well, I never thought I'd be doing a program about the history of World War One.
Do you want to know something?
On this program.
I never did either. But, you know, I think it's important that we have just a little bit of intellectual education about these things, mm-hmm. so that when you're talking to particularly a Catholic person, mm-hmm. you can maybe remember some of this stuff that all the wars were caused by.
Mm, yes.
The Vatican and the Jesuits.
Which is
amazing.
And their banking system and all the people that profited from the wars.
Yeah. So back to that World War One, we see that the Pope realized that if Austria-Hungary Empire crushed the Serbs, then the Serbs, Orthodox Christian brothers from Orthodox Russia, their ally would enter to help.
Yeah, hoping the Orthodox Christians in Russia would be annihilated. That's what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they did enter. Mm-hmm. And then Germany and France and others joined in, and you have World War One. And in 1917, after 3 years, the United States entered the war as well.
Mm-hmm.
And by 1917, the last Tsar Nicholas and all his family in Russia were killed. Never again would a hated by Rome emperor rule Russia or protect the Russian Orthodox Church.
And payback time, as it always does with this, had come.
They got what they wanted.
They got what they wanted. It took them a while, but...
Germany formally surrendered on November 11th, 1918, and all nations agreed to stop fighting while the terms of peace were negotiated.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian Revolution, financed by the Jesuits in America, or called the Federal Reserve, the main guys were Jacob Schiff and William Sands, had begun the Soviet Bolsheviks, winning in the end and soon transitioning into communism.
And all thanks to Rome. This money was essentially stolen from the American people through the Federal Reserve Bank. And we know how that works. That's the IRS.
It's been going on since they started in, what year was that? Do you remember? I think 1913? I think so, yes.
I think it was right before World War One. They fought to keep the Jesuits out of this country. There's been a big fight to keep the Federal Reserve from happening, but we have it now.
Yeah,
so.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All because of the Titanic, which, by the way, is on our website. That is a great
The untold story of the Titanic.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all the great nations, including the United States, by this time were pretty war-weary, devastated, actually, mm-hmm. mourning their dead. Peace was the great universal desire. Thus, when it was proposed by President Woodrow Wilson to set up a League of Nations to ensure peace, all the great nations jumped on that bandwagon without even stopping to read the fine print in that insurance policy. Then, Senator Henry Cabot Lodge Sr. actually prevented the United States from joining the League of Nations. So the Jesuits' plot to create a one-world governing body from which they could control the world was stopped. But only temporarily, the part of the Jesuits' plan had to wait about another 27 years for a repeat performance.
And we know that as the Second World War. And that resulted in, not League of Nations, the United Nations.
The Second World War.
The Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how about some information on this Woodrow Wilson?
That's a good idea.
He was the president during World War One. He's kind of an interesting fellow.
He was. He was actually controlled and dominated by Colonel Edward Mandel House. And he was a Jesuit coadjutor. When I say coadjutor, that means he's not a priest.
Mm-hmm.
He's working for the Jesuits, but he's out in the government and anywhere else working undercover.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's covert.
That's right. But Wilson knew it, by the way, and once said that Mr. Howes is my second personality.
Hmm.
He is my independent self. His thoughts and mine are one. How in the world could anybody ever say that? So for 7 long years, Colonel Howes was Woodrow Wilson's other self. And it was Howes who made the slate for the cabinet, formulated the first policies of the administration, and practically directed the foreign affairs of the United States.
Well, right. And it sounds like we had really two presidents for one. We had a president and a shadow president.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Colonel Howes was a super ambassador, by the way.
Mm.
He talked to emperors and kings as an equal. And he was the spiritual, let's say, generalissimo of the administration. And there's a book called The Strangest Friendship in History. And it's the story of Woodrow Wilson and Colonel Howes by Livewright Publishers. And the author's name is George Varick. If we have any history people out there, mm-hmm. that might want to check that out.
Varick or Vierick?
Vierick.
Varick, okay.
Yeah, V-I-E-R-E-C-K. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he also writes that while Wilson was running for re-election in 1916, okay,
mm-hmm.
this is during the war,
mm-hmm.
he ran on a platform and it said, because he kept us out of war, because they hadn't entered yet.
Okay.
Well, while he was running on this platform, his Colonel Howes was actually secretly negotiating an agreement with England and France on behalf of Woodrow Wilson, that America would enter the war immediately after the election.
Hmm.
Howes was also intimate with the power centers of money and power in Europe. And, in fact, he had close contacts with both J.P. Morgan and the old banking families of Europe.
Hmm.
And there's another book, in case you're writing down references, people, that The Creature from Jekyll Island, American Opinion Publishing, is by G. Edward Griffin. And that's a good book that has all this information that mm-hmm. I'm giving you. So as a Jesuit, Colonel Howes carried out every desire. He used Wilson as a puppet to create the League of Nations for the Jesuits.
So Wilson was just Rome's tool, their puppet, actually, to do their bidding.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So many.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you that evidence is out there, people. Please just don't think I'm making all this up. So besides Russia, another reason for World War I was to pay back Germany for its opposition to the papacy and the Jesuits in 1860s and 70s.
Well, that's right, because Germany was the birthplace of those aided Lutherans.
That's right. That's right. So the papacy didn't like Germany either.
No.
In fact, Martin Luther was born in East Germany. And later, again, before World War I, Chancellor Bismarck, he led Germany, and at that time it was known as Prussia,
mm-hmm.
to military victories over the Jesuit-controlled countries, as we know, of Austria in 1866, in France in 1870. So Bismarck also outlawed the Jesuit order in 1872. So these crimes against Rome and the Jesuits, well, they had to be repaid.
Mm-hmm.
So hence, many thousands of Germans were slain in the bloodbath of World War I.
Yeah.
Sadly, Germany was also the country most affected at the end of the war. The victorious nations of Europe used the Treaty of Versailles to plunder Germany. The treaty imposed such an unfair burden of war, reparations on Germany, that when the French leader, Clemenceau, was asked by the press what the leaders had given the world by the treaty, and he said, "We have guaranteed another war in 20 years.
And he was right.
I know. So the Germans agreed to the terms because they were weak and defeated, but they swiftly rebuilt and attempted to pay back their enemies for the debt given to them after World War I.
And that payback was known as World War II.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So After World War I ended, the Jesuits did not get what they wanted. Woodrow Wilson and Edward Mandelhaus managed to get them the League of Nations, but it failed miserably. Do you know why?
Yes.
I knew you did.
The United States refused to join.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, another war was necessary. A war so devastating, World War II, that the people would cry out for a United Nations. Mm-hmm. This was one of the goals of World War II.
That, revenge, and money, and that was interesting.
Yeah. So, what can I tell you? That was World War I, and hopefully we'll be getting into World War II, although there's so much information, I'm going to really have to work hard at trying to summarize that.
Mm-hmm. But again, you see the Vatican with the same kind
Absolutely.
Of involvement.
Absolutely.
Undercover mm-hmm. stuff, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, right. we know the thing that really got me was understanding the Serbian-Croatian thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Croatians being Catholic and the Serbians being the Orthodox who broke away.
That's right.
And how the Austro-Hungary Empire was so huge. And in order to get a war going, they had to do something.
That's right. And you know what? I had to do some homework on Milosevic. Wasn't he a Serbian as well?
Yeah.
And Kosovo and all that kind of stuff. That's a whole other area.
Yeah, we need to look into that. But it's undercover agents that are, what did you say? Wasn't mentoring, but they're the men behind the men, these shadow people mm-hmm. that are...
Causing turmoil. Causing chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Because order comes out of chaos. And that's what they want. They want a one-world government so that the Pope can run everything. So that's why mm-hmm. I believe that he's either the Antichrist or the false prophet. Not sure which.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But all I know is that he's going to be part of that. That's what Revelation is talking about.
Of course, yeah. And, of course, the people are the ones that are going to cry out for order.
Well, yeah, because it's
out of
going
the
to be
chaos, because they're going to be.
That's what the plan is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the plan is.
And in Germany before World War II, and we'll probably be getting into this later, but it was very chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of rioting. There was inflation. And when they had riots in Germany, they actually shot each other. They would have like gun battles like the Old West right out in public squares and things. So it was really turning into a lawless society, and people were demanding order. Who's going to do this
for us? Absolutely. And that's what will happen.
And who knew that they were playing right into the hands of these elite?
Well, you know, even in America here, when the dollar falls, and it's supposed to be worse than the Depression, and then all of a sudden this man's going to come around and say that, hey, I can give you this and I can give you that, and we'll have a world government, and everything's going to be rosy, people are going to want it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Because they're sick and tired of seeing all the bloodshed, all the... hate and all that.
That's right.
Hey, you know, you did a good job of getting this information together. Could you give us a clue, like, where you were getting some of that from?
I can. Since we do have a couple of minutes, I think that would be a great idea. So, guys out there, if you have pencil and paper, you might want to write some of these down.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the resources, and again, there's many. But The Jesuits by Malachi Martin, he was an ex-Jesuit himself. He wrote all about it. That's a great book. And then there was another ex-Jesuit named Alberto Rivera. And all you have to do is go to Chick Publishing, and that's chick.com, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
He has all kinds of things in there, a lot of comic books and stuff, you know how they do. But his whole story, is you can get through them.
Mm-hmm. It's a graphic novel, I think they call them now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's, oh my gosh, it's called The Vatican Assassins. Now, this is by John Eric Phelps. He did probably the most extensive. But it's something like 1,600 pages. It's really huge.
Mm.
And I don't think the book is available anymore. You almost have to go to his website, VaticanAssassins.org,
really?
And download it. I think it costs $35,
mm-hmm.
and then you can get it in paper form. But
and why is it flying off the shelves?
Well, he wrote it about 20 years ago.
Okay.
So, and
oh,
yeah,
it's getting rare.
It's a lot of people are reading it.
Yeah.
So I've just been reading 20 pages at a time, so I've got it about halfway through.
Well, I'm glad. We pray for others to join us in this fight and of exposing wickedness and getting the truth out there.
That's right. And the other thing I want to say is just because I'm telling you that these resources and the names of the authors does not mean that I agree with their theology on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important. I just am looking at the history that they've done on the Jesuits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, you know, John Eric, you know, he he is a Calvinist, and so therefore we disagree on some areas,
mm-hmm.
you know, and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I just wanted to point that out. And there's another one called The Secret History of the Jesuits by Edmund Paris. And the other one is actually by a Seventh-day Adventist, and it's called The Secret Terrorists.
That sounds like
And one more, The 50 Years in the Church of Rome by ex-Jesuit Charles Chiniqui. That was a very,
That's
very
a good one. I downloaded that one, too. Thank you so much. Listener, if you haven't made Yeshua, excuse me, Lord over your whole life, or you just have a head knowledge of him and you're kind of like in the background, you know, just looking in, I'll tell you what, it's very easy to get your sins forgiven, get your life back on track. Just get on your knees and pray and repent. That means to stop doing those individual sins that are keeping you in bondage. He understands how they keep you in bondage, and he can break those bonds. So remember, it's always your choice of where you spend eternity, and God sends no one to hell. And you decide yourself where your soul goes, and your soul never dies. And it's got to go somewhere. So tonight, we hope you make that decision, and you make Yeshua, the Messiah, Lord of your life. Okay?
That's right. And then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them.
And the Aaronic blessing for tonight. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yosem lecha Shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. Till next week, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122, verse 6.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.